This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, good to have you with us. Hour number two. So I just ran out during the hallway and immediately Brian Mitchell and J.P. Finley start making fun of me.
Why? What could they possibly make fun of you for now?
Why am I this station group's favorite pinata? They told Carl Alsner this morning that I nearly spilled soup, hot soup, on Tom Wilson in the locker room.
We do need to talk about that because I did hear this. How did this occur? I know you wanted to avoid fast food. Like, I heard you recap it on the Junkies. You wanted to avoid fast food. So you decided to make yourself some soup in the middle of the third period, which, weird move.
Actually, you know what? I got to point out a mistake you just made.
Oh, boy.
I dodged this bullet on the Junkies this morning. Oh. It was on Grant and Danny yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Somehow I hang around here way too much.
Somehow the Junkies did not know about this or did not ask me about this.
Well, they live in their own world.
Yeah. That they do.
Yeah.
That they do. But, maybe we'll get into it with Joe B.
Did he bear witness to any of this, or was he busy?
He did not. I'll ask him about my poor locker room etiquette. And I'm sure as soon as Caps PR finds out about it, which they probably have.
Your press pass has been revoked.
I was going to say, I'm never going to be allowed to go to a game ever again. Very unprofessional of me. All right, let's get back to it on the phone, see what you guys think. Are you mad, disappointed, whatever, that they didn't trade down? What do you think of Josh Connerly? Do you like it? I don't want to do a letter grade because nobody knows.
Pete Prisco gave it a B-.
I mean, I'm not saying nobody knows. I'm saying nobody in our audience.
I don't think Pete Prisco knows either. But
I think Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, I got to double check. I think he gave them an A or an A-.
Love seeing that.
I'm talking about our audience. Nobody's watched enough Josh Connerly to know.
Especially because, played at Oregon.
Yeah.
They play late.
Exactly. They did play Maryland.
Yes, they did.
And they played Ohio State a couple of times.
Won once.
And then they
got
their
in the other.
Asses beat. And he wasn't very good in that game. While Adam Peters saluted him for playing hard till the end, an admirable trait, he wasn't very good in that game. I think he gave up 6 quarterback pressures in that game. Didn't give up a sack. Only gave up 2 sacks on 1,900-plus snaps at Oregon over the last, 3 years, but 2 years as a starter. So keep
Pretty
that
good.
In mind. Let's get to Dr. Sabah to start off hour number two. Good afternoon, Doc. How are you?
Hey there, Christopher. Shout out to Ethan. He is right about having to clean up other people's messes. That seems to happen a lot in business and in sports and in politics, everything,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
and,
correct.
And speaking of the your morning show that is highly popular, I find it interesting. They didn't even mention anything, like one word about the president talking about bringing our name back. I find that interesting.
Kevin Sheehan did.
We did talk about that yesterday.
Yes, exactly. Mad Max, you were part of that.
Not the other
all
people.
All right, so wait a second.
Not the morning guy.
Wait. right? Does that make me guilty too?
Well, I expected it from you. It's okay. I understand that. We still love you. But, you know, they talk about everything, you know, that don't even have to do with sports.
Even
you know.
He said it, Redskins is maybe perhaps a little bit different.
Yeah.
But he says, I've talked to a lot of Indians, and they really love the name.
Oh, trust me. I've heard that for years.
Wait a second. We haven't heard that one before? Wait. The president is actually going and visiting tribal reservations?
I'm talking to Indians.
In, like, Montana?
Well, yeah.
And asking them what they think of the name Redskins?
Them are okay with it.
Yeah, I don't think
the people complaining or not.
The last time I checked, he doesn't care.
We all know that.
Yeah, the last time I checked, he doesn't care about anybody that's not a billionaire. But anyway.
Yeah, well, whatever. Hopefully there's some Native American billionaires out there, because that would have been great. The name would have never changed.
Yeah,
so, anyhow. Listen, let's not get into that. I just, you know, want my name back. I don't really care who does it or how it happens. I just wanted to come back. And it's well documented. But as far as Omarion Hampton is concerned, I felt bad that we didn't get him. But I never thought the Chargers. How stupid am I? That's perfect because, listen, he reminds me of LaDainian Tomlinson. Well, guess where LaDainian played? The Chargers. And guess who coaches him at Carolina? The former UNC running back, Natron Means.
Oh,
where did he play?
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah.
And who is Drake May's comp? Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Who did Omarion Hampton play with at Carolina?
Mm.
Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
It all is coming together. Oh, who probably recruited him in college because he just came to the NFL from college? Harbaugh. I'm so dumb. I should have put money on the Chargers getting this guy. I think it's going to be great. I'm so happy for him.
Here's the interesting situation, though. At least for 1 year. It'll be interesting to see the Najee Harris dynamic. I don't think Najee Harris by any means is special. So I think it gives Omarion Hampton a chance to learn the scheme, mm-hmm. learn the language, learn all the different, you know, all the different
the
things that they're asking him to do, and not have immediate pressure on him, but yet still be able to make an impact. And I would look at the bigger impact being second half of the season than first half.
Yes, I agree. And Najee Harris, if I'm not mistaken, is he more of a Marshawn Lynch kind of guy?
Yeah,
maybe they'll use him on those goal lines.
Yeah, I don't think he's as fast as Marshawn Lynch, but he's certainly a physical downhill back, which is kind of their style. But listen, they're not dumb. Mm-hmm. They also understand, like at least in Omarion Hampton's case, he's going to be able to get to the perimeter. He's going to be able to get to the edge.
Yeah,
is he Jahmyr Gibbs? No, he's not Jahmyr Gibbs. But
he's LaDainian Thomas.
Well, you keep saying that. I prefer not to, for the kid's sake, not put those expectations on him. But I understand. Look, if you want to run the football, and there's been one radio host in America that's been preaching, run the ball, 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 run the ball.
That would be you.
One. And that's me. Exactly.
That would be you.
Right.
And
so,
one last thing, too.
Yes.
If by chance, I'm not wishing this, poor Justin Herbert may, you know, twist the knee or something. Guess who's going to be the quarterback on their road to the Super Bowl with Omarion Hampton?
Oh.
When Taylor Heineke.
Oh.
See, I always come back to him.
You mean it's not going to be Trey Lance?
Oh, is he the backup there now?
Yeah.
Did I miss something? Oh,
yeah.
My poor guy. Is Taylor gone?
No,
or Taylor, is he still there?
Taylor's still there. But they're going to battle basically.
Oh, well, this is him and Trey Lance. This is a no-brainer.
Well,
oh, my God.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Sam Howell can't even get a job. Taylor Heineke will always have a job.
I know.
That's my take.
I'm
okay with the offensive lineman being taken. But can I ask you one last question?
Yes.
Is Tuzzle the guy that we traded for? Is he the guy that was smoking
weed? Yes, Tuzzle.
Oh,
yes.
That dropped. I thought we were high-character guys. Maybe I missed that. But I guess it's legal now. He'll just take Trent Williams' place as far as smoking that stuff. Okay. All righty.
Doc,
well, that sounds good. Thank you.
You always
you
have an interesting All perspective. Right. Have a good weekend. Thank you, Doc. Always an interesting perspective. Let's get to Lou in D.C. What up, Lou? How are you?
Rooster, what's going on, bro?
Lou, what's going on? You like the move or no?
I think I love it, man. I think,
I
you know,
think I
like
love
the first
it.
Caller.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, because unlike the first caller, he complains, him and I, and just complain about everything. I mean, I don't know. We coming from the NFC East Championship game, and yet, I mean, people are still tripping about this guy. Like, I mean, we got to protect our quarterback, our franchise quarterback. So it's obvious that, you know, when we played Philadelphia for the championship game, I mean, we couldn't stop, you know, the interior defensive line, let alone the linebackers. So, I mean, it's only right that they build that O-line, and then, you know, you could address some of these guys maybe this year, you know, if they need to go get a corner, maybe hopefully they can get that Will Johnson from Michigan. I don't know if he's going to be there on there, but
he could be because of the knee concerns. He definitely is slipping. Now, that's rich to expect him to get to 61, but we don't know how bad this knee is. I mean, it obviously forced him out of the first round when he was considered a top 10-ish pick.
Right. So I'm fine with the pick. I like it. I think it's about protecting your quarterback because, you know, he took 50-some sacks. So, I mean, why not build, you know, the O-line and protect your guy? I mean, that's the only way at least we could, outscore the other teams and, you know, just putting up by points, you know. So I think if you protect the quarterback, I think it give you a chance to at least, you know, even, you know, if the defense is not as good as that, I think we upgraded the defense. I think we play Philadelphia right now, I think we could beat them twice. That's how I feel about the defense right now because we added the guy from New England. We got the guy from New Orleans, the safety. We got
Will Harris,
the corner from Jonathan Jones. Yeah, so I think they're doing everything that I'm expecting them to do, and I'm happy. And like I said, AP and we trust. So I have no question. And other than that, man, let's go Caps tonight, and let's go, you know, play like St. Louis did last night, man. I don't know if you watched that game.
I did not. Yeah, I was very busy, but I saw they kicked their ass. So, but that's a little bit different. They were home, you know, St. Louis. And St. Louis was red hot before the playoffs started. I think they had won like 11 or 12 in a row. Tonight is a different beast going up to that place. I'm not saying that the Capitals cannot win. It is a different beast than even the regular season when you say, well, I'm used to playing there during the Yeah, it's another animal in the playoffs. So we will see. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate you. Let's go to Chris in Damascus. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'll start with this. I told Max, Mad Max, and you guys you guys are great together. But anyway,
that's all, Max.
To take away Max's hard work with Kevin and everything. I wish him the best. He's one of the best that we got.
Chris, you're maybe one of the only people in the audience that probably understands the whole Max bit that I do.
Yes.
Right? About the Max shirt, about the Mad Max thing, about Max Scherzer, about collecting a seventh paycheck.
It's very obscure.
You know, I don't think it's very obscure, but if there's one person that's smart enough in our audience, it's Chris in Damascus.
It's true.
And if there's one person that deserves it, it's Mad Max, who is one of the best pitchers of all time.
Yes. And I thought you, when you said Mad Max, I thought you were saying that Mad Max, like here, deserves seven paychecks. I thought that's what you were saying.
He deserves whatever he gets. Because working with you and Kevin is two different animals.
Whatever he gets. I got two nickels that I'm rubbing together right here in the studio. Is that good enough? Okay. All right.
Well, it's not. Nothing's good enough.
No, but that's true.
But it just shows. It's a thought of appreciation.
It's true.
Anyway, real quick, it was about midnight last night, right after they made their pick. I think it was when Toby and Lionel were doing their post game stuff, and Doc called in.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if it was a setup segment. You got to check your timeline. I think it was about midnight.
Okay.
It was after the pick. But anyway, and the first thing out of Lionel's mouth was something about Doc being up so late, and Doc went Marcellus Medieval.
I got to listen to this.
It was about midnight. I think if you take your time sheet, whatever, about midnight, it was somewhere up, and Doc called in, and it was like a whole segment almost. But
maybe Max, when we have Joe Beninati on, maybe Max can do a little research and find out when it was, and we can play a portion
Toby
of it.
Toby lost his breath, and Lionel was couldn't even speak, and Doc went, it was Doc's best work. He went, and it goes to the pick we're talking about. I'm kind of always been, and kind of with you. run the ball, stop the run, old-fashioned football, and I like to pick. I like the big guys. Yeah, we only had one pick. If we had two picks, maybe the next one would have been a defensive lineman. Maybe tonight it will be. And then I'll let it go here. And I like you got great callers, double A, Sabah, the perfect callers, and I understand Sabah. Sabah's the best one about the name of the team, but let's not. It's too much going on tonight. We got Caps tonight. Go Caps. The Nats cannot hit a lefty, and they're playing the best team, that your Mets, in, well, you, I know you like all baseball.
I mean,
like
me. I grew up a Mets fan, so like I can't baseball, hide from
but
that.
They got the, they're facing the best pitcher, mm-hmm. and the Mets have the best record.
Yep, yep.
And of course, I'm conflicted as well. I love Juan Soto, but
sure.
Tonight is Nats. But the hardest part, of course, is flipping between that and the Caps game. And that's all I really have to add to the show. But you got to check out Doc. I've been with Doc for a long time.
All right.
And not as long as you, of course. But it was his best work last night. It was something to behold, and you guys will laugh. It was, like I said, about midnight or something. Doc called in, and it was great, and it made me laugh. And if you never heard Lionel.
Oh, he's gonna be so mad that you keep calling him Lionel.
Steamed.
Max
heard him backpedaled this morning about how he got called out from a caller from last night.
He's probably got crab legs at a $45 all-you-can-eat crab leg buffet that he likes to go to, coming out of his ears Lionel. Why did they get my name wrong?
Neither one of them, because Doc had them speechless. Neither one of them. They were. You could hear them breathing. I'll see you at the top. A good night. Go
Thanks,
Cat.
Chris. Appreciate
go
you.
Go Nat.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, as always. Chris is funny. If Linnell is listening, oh, my God, he is probably going bonkers that I didn't, correct Chris on his name. It's funny, though. Everybody, pronounces his name differently. Like, Tom, our engineer, is, Athan calls him Linus. Tom, our engineer, calls him, I think, Lionel. Chris just called him Lionel 17 times. I have a million nicknames for him. It's just like Linnell doesn't roll off the tongue. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. It's not smooth off the tongue. But maybe I'm wrong. All right, let's get one more in here, then we'll take a timeout. Again, Joe Beninati coming up just after 2:30 from Montreal. Let's go to D.C. in Calvert County. What's up, D.C.? How are you?
Russell, I'm excellent, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, brother. Thank you.
I had to check on you because you're a soft target. That's why everybody at the station picks on you, man.
Well, I will admit, DC, I do bring it on myself sometimes. I will admit that I am quite unconventional, is what I would say. But I am... I'm good fodder for morale. Sometimes morale isn't always what you would want it to be in life and in the office, but a little rooster goes a long way from what I've been told.
Hey, Rooster, you definitely are unique, man. I think that's why everybody loves picking with you. You can handle it and you dish
Thank
it
you,
out
brother.
When you get it seen.
Thank you, brother. But, I appreciate you.
I always. I love the pick. Number one, I love it because it's definitely a need. Football is won in the trenches. O-line, D-line. First, on last year, we used our first-round pick to get our quarterback. He's going to be here 10 to 15 years, starting maybe more, I don't know. Now we've solidified a lineman that can play with him for 10 to 15 years, potentially first blocking not his blind side, but his vision side, and then potentially moving over to protect his blind side. I love the front office not giving any clue on who they want because that helps them with the trade offers and it helps them with the draft.
Correct.
Everybody is thinking one thing and they don't even say a word. I specifically remember how Dan Quinn played it last year at Drake May's Pro Day. he saw a couple throws and then he just walked off shaking his head like, this guy's amazing. But all along, they wanted Jaden Daniels. So I look at it as these guys know what they want on their team, know what they need on their team, and they know what it takes to win. And they drafted the best player to fit the system that Kingsbury runs to help this team win.
You know, what's also interesting, think about this, and you just brought up Cliff Kingsbury, mm-hmm. and it just jolted something in my mind. Remember when Cliff Kingsbury was in Arizona, and he was thought to be this, you know, sexy boy toy that just threw the ball all over the yard, the, you know, 4 and 5 wide receivers, and throw, and he morphed into more of a running guy, more of an over the middle, using the tight ends, you know, moving the football different ways because he realized how ineffective that was and how hard that was to duplicate. And Cliff Kingsbury here, I think, wants to run the ball way more than people realize. And just couldn't as much as he wanted to, naturally, because he didn't have the horses in the backfield, either A, injury, or B, they weren't good enough, and B, second half of the season, his offensive line was banged up, nicked up, what have you. And to me, I think that goes a long way to him leaving that letter for Adam Peters, which is not why they drafted him, but, I mean, it was cute, part of the story. My point being is Cliff Kingsbury could have said, get me another wide receiver. Get me another running back. Get me this. Mm-hmm. Get me that. And instead he wants an offensive tackle. Because he realizes not only does it protect the quarterback, but it also opens up the running game.
And we got one more thing to look at. Now look at the depth that he created by, we already know Brandon Coleman's versatile. Wally can play tackle or guard. Yep. Cosme can play tackle or guard. And then Conley can play tackle or guard. We got versatility in multiple positions as the starters and as the backup. But I hope we're able to trade back in this round because I see all the DN depth. There's a lot of DN still there. If not, I hope we get a DN that we want, or if not, a running back. That's what I'm looking for today. If we can't trade back.
I hear you. We're going to do more of that after Joe B. Appreciate you as always, DC. Great to hear from you. Welcome. Excellent call. Appreciate you. 2:22 on the Team 980. We got to take a timeout. Right. Coming up, probably about 10, 11 minutes away. Again, Joe Beninati, live from Montreal, expected to join us before Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Quarters on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 27 minutes after the hour, Mad Max alongside on the other side of 2:30. We're going to have Joe Beninati. So let's squeeze in a call or two here. One call. Let's get to Kevin in Virginia, see what he thinks about Josh Connerly and not trading down. Go right ahead. Kevin, how are you? Kevin?
Thanks for taking the call.
All right, we got to put you a bit. Oop, we lost him anyway. Or Max, did you put him on? Yeah, Max is going to try and get him back on hold. Let's get to Jones. Let's get to Jonesy, see if we can get him aboard. What's up, Jonesy? How are you? Jonesy, I don't know what's going on with the phone lines right now. I'm going to have to put you on hold because both are really, really impossible. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. What we're going to do is take the trending alert early, and then we will come back scheduled to talk to Joe B. in Montreal. So assuming that goes well, we will have that for you next. If not, we'll have more of your calls as soon as we can figure everything out on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Away we go. All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us. We're working on getting Joe Beninati from Montreal. I just, in my mind, as I walked back in the studio, heard my son Tyler and how he says Montreal. And he calls it Montreal. 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 I've never been to Montreal. I would love to go, but I've never been there, and I would love to attend a game at the Bell Center. I mean, the old Montreal Forum used to be amazing, but it was such an old building. This place, 22,000 strong. Whew, man. Going to be an interesting night and a big-time challenge for the Capitals. You hear Shake, rattle, and roll. Of course, you know what that means. Alex Ovechkin with the two goals on Monday night. He did not score on Wednesday night, and that's fine. I mean, Connor McMichael got the first goal, got the empty netter with less than a second left. Dylan Strome in between, a minute after McMichael. It's been enough. The Capitals have done enough to win two games. They have not dominated, obviously, by any stretch. They've dominated four stretches, but they have not dominated the two games. So we'll see what tonight brings. In Montreal, at the Bell Center, and joining us right now is the great Joe Beninati, who will call tonight's game three, as he has the first two games on Monumental Sports Network. Their coverage, of course, I think begins at 6:30. I hope I'm saying that right. Face off just after 7 o'clock. The great Joe B joins us again from Montreal for game three. Joe, thank you as always. Great to talk to you. Appreciate you, as always, making time for us on a busy day.
Chris, make sure you have the viewers go there at 6 o'clock.
Oh, 6 o'clock.
It's
okay.
An hour-long gotcha. Pregame tonight. We're glad to have it on Monumental.
That, absolutely, and Russ Thaler's doing a great job back in town while Alexa is becoming a mom and doing all that. And let's start before we get into the hockey, because I didn't know this, Joe. I mean, we all know how important your relationship is with Locker and how important he is. My understanding is he's going to have to take a couple of games off here. It doesn't seem, again, from afar, anything... excuse me, particularly troubling, but it's always serious. What can you tell us, and have you talked to Locker in terms of trying to get an idea of how he's feeling?
Yeah, I'm not going to shed too much light into it. You're right. I don't think we'll see Craig for game three or four. I am hoping that if the series goes longer than that, that we will see Locker in the booth. I can't give you anything more than that, Chris.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I don't want to share too much. I know that Craig is, if not already home, he's on the way home from the hospital, and I think that's an incredibly good sign. So let's keep our thoughts and prayers positive for him. And we only get to do one round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in terms of the play-by-play coverage on Monumental Sports Network, and I'm hoping that if Locker gets a chance to get back into this series, that's great, and if not, as we move further along, then hopefully as a studio analyst and such. But I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that things are going well. It's my understanding that that they've got some good news today. So
that's great. That's great. We're all sending prayers and good thoughts and everything to Craig, his entire family. It was such an emotional return a couple of weeks ago against Buffalo on a Sunday afternoon. You've talked about it. He's talked about it. Got a chance to give him a hug on Long Island the day Ovi broke the record. so we're all hoping for the very best, and hopefully the Capitals can give Locker something to smile about tonight. And let's start, of course, there. Game three tonight. You've been in that building a number of times. I can't remember. I guess 2010 was at the Bell Center. So you've seen playoff games there. You know what that building is like. You know Hockey Mad Montreal, 22,000 plus. Is it significantly different in your mind for a playoff game as opposed to what you normally would face, oh, say, on a Saturday night hockey night in Canada trip to Montreal?
Rooster, it's great all the time. It really is. It's just a special place. The atmosphere is electric. They haven't had a full house Stanley Cup playoff game here since 2017.
Right.
You think back to when they went to the Stanley Cup final in 21, there were pandemic restrictions on the crowd at that time. I don't think they had more than 4,000 people in the arena.
Yep,
they'll be 22,000 plus tonight. And it is just a special place. And the sport means so much here. They will be through the roof, loud and exciting, and trying to inspire the home team. That's just what they do here, and like they do at home in D.C. And I thought Capitals fans were brilliant in the first two games, and now we'll see just how much Bell Center can respond. And from what I've seen in the past, and I've seen a lot of it here, it's pretty special.
No doubt about it. The great Joe Beninati is with us. He'll be on the call tonight. Monumental Sports Network, again, their pregame coverage begins at 6:00. Puck drop just after 7:00 from the Bell Center in Montreal, game 3 of the Eastern Conference quarters. So Alexei Protas seems real close. I don't think we got any definitive word. Do you think he plays tonight, or do you think maybe they play cautiously?
I know Spencer Carberry said game time decision. I watched him work out this morning. He's much more comfortable, more fluid. I don't believe he's going to play tonight, but I think Spencer wants to keep a little bit of suspense mm-hmm. in this. And I can only say positively that Alexei looks much better than he did a week ago and has been progressing steadily. And I would hope before too long we'll get back in there. He may be in there tonight. It would surprise me. He stayed on the ice an awful long time this morning. That's usually an indicator of the guys who are not playing, right, who are going right. to be scratches, whether they be healthy or injured. Mm-hmm. He was on there working a lot of extra with skill coach Kenny McCudden. So I'm inclined to say no, but Spencer is still leaving a little bit of doubt there as to whether or not he's ready by calling him a game time decision. You'll know by warm up. If he's out there, it's a good sign. If he's not, they're taking another day. But I'm telling you, from what I see with my own eyes, things are really improving. He's not far off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's great news, whether it's tonight, whether it's Sunday night, we'll see. Joe Beninati with us from Montreal. Of course, if you're not already following him on X or Twitter, it's at Joe B PXP, at Joe B PXP. And of course, again, watch the coverage tonight, game 3 on Monumental Sports Network beginning at 6 p.m. Puck drop just after 7 for game 3. All right, so physicality. I noticed it from the very first shift on Monday night in Game 1. I know you noticed it. I asked Spencer Carberry about it. After Game 1, he said it was the best first period that team had played in months, and it was specific to the physicality, and that continued in a lot of ways in Game 2. I assume that continues as this series goes along, especially if Protas or when Protas comes back. How do you... Is that a huge advantage against a smaller Montreal team, or is it just a subtle advantage in your eyes?
Oh, it's a big advantage, and it's one of the advantages why people would, I think, objectively call the Caps the favorite in this series, aside from the fact that there was a 20-point differential in the standings cumulatively throughout the Eastern Conference. Yes, the Caps come in as a top seed and the winners of the Metro and the more physical team, the bigger, more physical team. And I thought it was just tremendous that the captain, Alex Ovechkin, is leading the way in hits
yeah.
through the first two
yeah.
games.
I mean, they have like 12 or 13, sure, Joe? I think it's like 12 or 13.
It may be even more than that.
Okay.
It depends on when you whose stats you're
yeah.
tracking.
Yeah.
But he's there at the very top, and that's leadership by example. We've seen Alex, as he's become 37, 38, 39 years old, throw less and less of those bone-jarring hits. But in the first two games of this series, I think he's right there carrying the flag when it comes to hitting. And that's all by design. I think that's over the course of a two-week playoff series. You're trying to wear the opponent down. It's a lot of reasons why people like Washington from a size and strength standpoint. So all that said, I think they're going to come out trying to hit tonight. And they'll be a little bit different matchups with respect to Montreal having home ice advantage and Martin Saint-Louis having the chance to match lines better when at home. You're allowed that last change, so you can get away from
sure.
particular matchups that you don't like. And he'll try to get Suzuki away from Dubois as much as possible tonight. That's the smart move. And then you just see what the countermeasures are. You see how Spencer reacts and the coaching staff reacts to what Montreal's doing. But without a doubt, Chris, top of the list, hit effectively. Don't go out of your way to make a big hit and expose yourself defensively. So you're not going to come running out of the gate and go trying to throw 15 hits in the first
right.
2 minutes
right.
if it's not a wise move, but they will try to lean on this team throughout.
You mentioned Pierre-Luc Dubois, and certainly we know how good his prowess has been defensively against top-line centers and whatnot throughout the year. Who are some of the guys that, as you've called these games and being the hockey aficionado that you are, Joe B., that maybe necessarily haven't jumped out in terms of scoring and putting the biscuit in the basket, but have made a really good contribution. Pierre, I would assume, starts that list. Any other centers on that list? I'm thinking of at least, maybe both on top of that.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, Strome is so underrated and far from unappreciated. He's greatly appreciated in D.C., but I think underrated on the national perspective as a playmaker and a point-per-game guy during the regular season. He's going to be there in all the critical moments, whether they be power play or five-on-five. He's more than likely the spoon that feeds Alex Ovechkin time after time after time. So those two guys obviously work extremely well together. Pierre-Luc is going to score in this series, I guarantee it, just about. But more than anything, he comes to the coaching staff and says, please give me the most difficult offensive / defensive assignment. So if you're playing Edmonton, I want McDavid. If you're playing Toronto, I want Matthews. If you're playing Colorado, I want McKinnon. If you're playing Montreal, give me Suzuki. And that line, Suzuki, Caulfield, Slepkovsky, statistically in the last 6 weeks, Chris, has been just
really
about
good.
As good as any in the league. I mean, from the metric standpoint, mm-hmm. from the analytics standpoint, they're playing extremely well. So Dubois wants that matchup. And I thought it was interesting. Spencer made the point. Suzuki's line does tend to play 60 to 80 second shifts, which is a bit more than usual.
Yeah.
And is designed, I think, to try and tax you into two different lines. So Dubois and then more than likely Dowd off of that would be the matchup. So those two particular centers, Nick Dowd and Pierre-Luc Dubois, can expect to have their hands full, but those lines genuinely appreciate defensive assignments. That includes, obviously, the wingers. Wilson and McMichael have to chime in. Duhaime and Radish have to chime in that regard, and they all do.
Yep.
So they're all good two-way players. They have to be mindful whenever they get those assignments tonight.
Yeah, and there's a couple of Capitals that I think have stood out to me. Now, some have obviously scored, like Anthony Beauvillier, but he's been great. I think Eller has been good. You mentioned Duhaime. He's been real good. And, of course, Logan Thompson. Was there a particular save of the flurry of four or five big-time saves in that third period that stood out to you, Joe? Or was it just the mass quantity?
Well, a couple of them. And he's been so good. And that should give Capitals fans a great deal of confidence. I've said this. If January Logan Thompson is playing for the Capitals can beat anybody in this playoff tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And those first two games reminded me of January Logan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Down the stretch, we didn't see that nearly as much. I think he was banged up, and I know we had the last seven games off due to an injury, but I think that allowed him to reset both physically and mentally. He's been brilliant. He looks very explosive, the usual reflexive Logan Thompson, but when he's playing well, he'll tell you, I don't have to be diving all over the place. The one diving save that I gave him credit for that he doesn't take, as he says, it hits the post first.
Right.
I understand that, but
he's a part of that. He's a part of that.
No, he was awesome. And I hate when I think I see something.
Yeah.
I saw it hit him, but it was hitting him off the post on the backside.
Same with me, Joe. I thought the same exact thing live. I thought the same exact. I thought it was Holtby versus Tuck in game two. You know, or something similar to that live.
It was dramatic, and I saw it hit him. But apparently it hit him off of the post first, came back out off of him. So where I'm looking at it, it looked like it was exceptional.
Yep.
The save that mattered the most was the kickout stop on Anderson's breakaway.
Yep.
Not very much longer after that. So he's had episodes during this season, Logan has, where he's literally taken the team on his back and said, follow me. And he'll have to do that again tonight. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the first 15 minutes tonight. Montreal is going to come shot out of a cannon tonight. Yeah. Logan and the Caps have to be ready for that.
Well, that leads me into a final question. I so appreciate you making time for us again. Joe B. with us on the call tonight. Monumental. Their coverage begins at 6. Joe will be on the call just after 7 o'clock from the Bell Center. And it kind of hypothetical, but realistic, and being that you just mentioned it. The first 10 minutes or the final 10 minutes, if you had to choose one or the other in terms of being more important, it sounds like you're leaning towards the first 10 minutes and withstanding the storm.
Yeah, but all that said, we've seen how good Montreal's looked in the last 10 minutes of the first two games.
Right.
So I understand the point of the question, but I get the sense, and I think it's just human nature. The adrenaline rush from the Canadiens' dressing room tonight, fueled by 22,000 fans in this kind of atmosphere, and fans will know it the second they turn on Monumental Sports Network tonight, you can feel what's going on inside of that building. I would imagine the home team comes out especially strong. And in that case, you've got to absorb it if you're Washington. The Caps also have to make sure that they are not taken too much out of their normal run of show by the fans, by the support, by the energy that's in the building. You've got to play it and keep your mindset on what's been working in the first two games. And I do expect the first 10 and the last 10 to be extremely critical. But those first 10 tonight in this kind of atmosphere where they haven't been around in full-fledged, in full 22,000 support, that's going to really boost the home team.
No doubt about it. Joe, have a great call tonight. Thanks so much for doing this. Again, we're keeping Locker in our thoughts and good spirits. Glad to hear, whatever you were able to share with us. Certainly, we want to respect his privacy and his family and all that stuff. But we're rooting for him. We're rooting for you. We're watching you tonight, starting at 6 o'clock with the game coverage just after 7 o'clock in Montreal. Thanks, as always, my friend. Appreciate you.
Rooster, thanks. Locker and I and Alan May, we all appreciate it. Al Kokin on the assignment tonight, too. So I look forward to seeing everybody on Monumental Sports Network.
Attaboy. Enjoy some Montreal over the weekend. That is the great Joe Beninati with us here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Coming back for our final hour of power next. All right, once again, thanks to the great Joe Beninati. In case you missed it, Capitals fans, check out the Rewind feature on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app. Just after 2:30. So again, what Joe B said was his feeling based on what he observed was Alexei Protas not going to play tonight because he was on the ice extra, and that is a telltale sign usually. Again, nothing's 100% guaranteed. Something could change. Situations always could change. But I wouldn't expect, as I mentioned this morning on the Junks, I wouldn't expect, and by the way, if you missed me this morning on the Junks, 9:20 I think it was, 9:20?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I was here.
You were here that? Oh, because you were here,
buddy.
For Kevin.
Usually for Kevin's show, I get here around 8:45, 9. It takes me an hour to get here, so it's just like, by the time I'm awake and I am dressed, I'm usually like, you know what? Might as well just get in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, commuting sucks.
It's the worst.
I mean, we need people to commute to listen to the radio. If you can't listen live, you can always listen to every hour, every show, every day, every segment, every minute on the Odyssey app. Just go to the Team 980.
Hopefully,
you can listen
YouTube
to Kevin's
eventually.
Show. You can listen to Craig's show. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch them.
We got to get you on YouTube. You got to show off that jersey.
I'm so handsome that they won't allow me on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to...
You glow so much, it breaks the camera.
I'm going to present it that way. Not that I'm the last of the Mohicans. No. I am so handsome, so sexy, they don't want to break the camera.
It's true. It's what I've heard. It's what Drab said to me.
I think I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to choose positivity for once in my life.
Finally. We've changed you, Rooster. We did it.
Coming up next hour, more on Josh Connerly. More of your phone calls at 301-230-0980. Hopefully we have the phone lines all straightened out. We will try an effort again. Also, how the hell did Shedeur Sanders not get drafted? And who else didn't get drafted? And who made the dumb move of the first round? All of that to come on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
I wish AMAC was here.